Matthew chapter 2. In our Calvary Chapel, we go through the Bible systematically, verse by verse, book by book, chapter, because we believe the Word of God is active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and there's nothing worth hearing from the man's mouth unless the Lord put it in. So we believe that the Word will speak to us. It's relevant, and it is good for our soul. If you don't agree with that, that's tough. Because the Word of God is true, right? Many people in the world claim that they are Christians, especially in America, because they are born in America, so on. Or they went to the church when they were a kid, or they've been baptized, or they are somebody's deacon's sister, or deacon's brother, or eldest kid. They tend to say that kind of thing, but however, when it comes to true doctrine, they don't want to follow. Why they don't want to follow? Because it reveals their sin. It reveals that they have become, all of a sudden, they have to be accountable for what they say, what they do. Word of God is a truth, and Word of God does not negotiate. And there's no such a thing as a gray area in the Word of God. Some people say, well, you're talking about dance or the, you know, that kind of thing is a gray area. It's clearly mentioned that it's not against it, but it's not same time, it's not for it. If it make you to stumble, make other people to stumble, restrain yourself. Don't let the freedom go out of your way that make other people to stumble. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against the dancing. If it's husband and wife, go for it. But if it's somebody other than your husband and wife, think about it. Would that make other people to stumble or not? Anyway, a lot of people want to claim that they are Christian, but they don't want to follow the Word of God. Wise men from the East we are going to study, they seek the newborn king and the king of Jews. They not only sought after God, sought after the king of Jews, and they knew that he is their king of the world, and they traveled many miles and came to see him and worshiped him and obeyed what the God is speaking to them. That is the truth. We have to seek God and obey God. We cannot just say we know him and not follow him. Last week I mentioned about the Matthew is written for the Jewish people. It does not bother to explain about Jewish customs because he believed Jewish people already knows about it. Because it's written for the Jewish people to talk about the long-awaited Messiah King is here and he is Jesus Christ. He brought many prophecies from the Old Testament. Throughout the entire book of Matthew, it says fulfilled several times. As a matter of fact, to be exact, 12 times. We will find three times mentioned in this chapter. Last week, we heard about the genealogy of the Jesus, the line of the king of David, and the line of Abraham. Today, we are going to study about the birth of Jesus Christ. This is not this typical Christmas story. It's a little bit different. And we are going to find that the distorted Christmas story, the truth about it, we are going to find out that truth. And also we are going to find that three people, a group of people. Number one, who is obedient one. Number two, who knew the Word of God, didn't obey God. Number three, who knew the Word of God and tried to destroy that. So I call them the good, the bad, the ugly. Actually, the last one should be a bad one. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We are asking you the blessing to be upon your word. Go forth and speak to our heart. Let us not be the one who would know the word of God and not obey. Let us not be the one who know the word of God and try to destroy the word of God. But let us be the one who is like wise men who hear the word of God and do what it says. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's title is Wise Men Still Seek Him. Of course, wise women still seek him too. Verse 1 of chapter 2, Matthew. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to the Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his stars in the east and have come to worship him. There's a lot of misconception and a legend about these wise men. Number one, they are not kings. They are magis, M-A-G-I, magis. What are they? They are oriental astrologers. You might say, ooh, astrologers, it's against the word of God. Yes, it is true. Can God use Satan to get what he's wanting done? Yes, he does. Can he use these people that are against his theology to get what he wants? Yes, he does. He is using these astrologers and you meeting them at their level. Because they are familiar with the stars, he is using stars to bring them to his presence, to his will. God will meet our need, our level. Because we cannot get him, he will come down to our level. He will meet wherever we are, if we only seek him with all of our heart. These people were sought after God's heart. How did they know about this star and about the prophecy, about the king of Jews? Because they are the seekers, they are the scholars of the Babylon, it says east, there where they came from, Babylon. Because they were studying the prophetic message from the Daniel. Where was Daniel? Babylon, of course. So he made, if you study the book of Daniel, he talked about the coming king. To talk about this coming king, they have to be start. And by searching the truth, they learned that there is a king is coming in human form. Now, the Satan did not know how this is going to happen, how the salvation will be delivered to humankind. So we are going and we are going to find out how he's trying to destroy. There's a considerable speculation about this so-called his star, God, the one that led him to the Jesus, young child. Some people say it's a comet, or is it Jupiter, or is it a north star. However, north star cannot be because it does not move. But then again, if God chooses to say, north star, you move, he would move. That's not the problem. Now, I'm sure it was a special star. I'm not going to speculate because I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know. And everybody who said they know, they don't know. Trust me, they don't know because they were not there. What matters is God, as I said before, God met him. God used this particular star who was specialized in astrology and to bring them to his own presence. This experience give us a good lesson. Number one. Oh, by the way, this is another verse. Those who are into the horoscope. By the way, horoscope, what's the horoscopes based on? You know, stars. And same time, very much based on Oriental philosophy. Some people ask me, is Oriental philosophy like a yin yang? You guys know, you heard about it with a circle, with a half, one of those things. It looked like a Korean flag. I know, it's coming, it is yin yang thing. Plus, minus, all of that, they think they can divide the entire universe with yin yang. Good philosophy. But lousy doctrine. It is very much a demonic doctrine. Let me make it very clear to you. Don't ever get involved with the horoscope. Don't ever get involved with the reading palm. I look at the palm and look like it has a bunch of lines. That's about far as it goes. This does not dictate your life. Nor the star dictates your life. Do you know who dictates life? God. One true God. No one else. He says, looking unto the Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Of course, our lives too. Do not look anyone other than Jesus. He is the one true God. This is the verse they use. Well, God used the stars, so it must be good to look at the horoscope, you know, that kind of thing. Without apology, I will say this. That's the stupidest idea I will ever hear. Zodiac or whatever those kind of thing, if that's true, when the plane goes down, why does everybody has a different birth date to die at the same time? That's a horoscope idea. According to that horoscope, it should be different fate. But everybody died at the same time. All right, let's go back to the what I was going to say. This gives us a good lesson about finding will of God. Number one, think carefully. God used his light to guide them. And they followed the light. They followed God's direction. Number two, it was confirmed. Hear me. It was confirmed by the word of God, by the scripture, by the prophecy given by through Daniel. Third, they obeyed God without question. Horoscope, people who use horoscope, they say, well, they are following God, but they deny the word of God. They do not confirm by word of God, and they do not obey the rest of the word of God. It is demonic. Number one, what do? You follow the direction of God. Number two, need to be confirmed by the word of God. Number three, obey and follow without question. We cannot say, but God, as soon as we said, God, you cannot do this. I agree with you, but I think as soon as we put but in front of I, we're denying everything what God says. You hear me? But when everything is wrong, and the Bible says, but God, that means God has changed everything. That's my favorite two words in the whole Bible. But God changes the good, bad to good. Verse 3. When the hero of the king heard this, he was troubled, and Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered... excuse me. So when you hear, listen to this teaching CD later, you will hear coughing. All the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Herod, this is a very interesting character. Down the road, we are going to study rather in-depth about Herod. This one is Herod the Great. This is the main guy. He was troubled in his heart because he is kind of schizophrenic guy. He likes to keep his throne as long as he can. At this time, he's already 70 years old. Now, because he's troubled, that means a lot of people kind of rather upset. Why? Because Herod was not really Jew. He's an Edomite. He was appointed by the Roman government. And if there's any other king other than Herod, that means it's an insurrection against Rome. What does that mean? It translates to the Roman government will come into the Israel with their army to demolish whoever is this king and his followers. That means war. It is no wonder that this Israeli people were kind of troubled by it. And as soon as Herod gets troubled, that means something has gone wrong because he's, as I said, a schizophrenic guy, like a stock market. Just no pun intended for the guys who have a stock in the stock market. All right, so we are going to find out second group of people. These are the Pharisees, these are the scribes and the chief priests who know the word of God, didn't follow God. I call them the uglies. Verse 5. So they said to him in the Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. From here, they are quoting Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Sadly, these people knew the word of God. They knew, they didn't do it. They didn't follow through. As I've said before, as we read before, these wise men traveled many, many miles, hundreds, probably thousands of miles, from Babylon to the Israel to find the king who was born in the Bethlehem. But they would not travel 5 lousy miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. If they knew the Micah 5:2, shouldn't they look for the Messiah, long way the king? But they wouldn't travel that far. God bypassed this proud Jerusalem for his humble Bethlehem. And David was born from Bethlehem. That's his hometown. So these wise guys came to find homeboy Jesus. And they will find him. Wise men went out of their ways to find Jesus. In a way, it's like now what is happening in current time in America. A lot of people know the word of God, but they will not seek the truth of God. Somehow they're thinking that, well, I went to church last week. That's good enough for the next 3 months. They will come up with any excuse. It rained. I might melt. I don't want to go to church. There's a good sports I might miss. Or have you ever heard of VCR? Or DVD? Nowadays you can record with the DVD. If you don't know how, just you ask any young people. They will tell you how to do it. They'll set you up too. And another excuse is, well, I have a headache. Well, come, we'll pray for you. We'll ask God to heal you. There's a better medicine than Tylenol or the Advil. They will come up with any lousy excuse or flimsy excuse to stay away from the Word of God. Why? Because it revealed our sins. That means we have to be accountable. Now we are going to find that Herod the king, the great, and this is the bad one. Verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. He sent to the Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back the word to me, and I may come and worship him also. Herod did not know the truth, but he was told. Now he's trying to destroy him. How are we going to find out? In verse 16 we find out. His idea of it, this is a weird man. This is a really good, I will explain more to you about him. His idea of worshiping Jesus is using chopping axe. This is not the guy you want to hang around just for the fun of it. Herod is used by Satan to destroy Jesus, the Savior of the world. As I told you before, Satan did not know how God's going to bring salvation to the mankind. None of the Old Testament prophets knew about it. Somehow, Satan knew that Jesus is going to be a human being, but then what? That's why he helped Jesus to be crucified. If he knew that he is going to Jesus would be the crucified and bring the salvation through that crucifixion, Satan would not participate in the crucifixion. He would make the Jesus stay alive as long as possible he can. You hear me? Because Satan did not know that, he helped him. But one thing he knew, if this kid, this little baby Jesus, is born and stay alive and he becomes someday will be a savior. Because the guy kept his track record. So what he can do? Just kill the kid. And he doesn't have to worry about it. That's where the Herod comes in. He's nothing more than puppet of Satan. Herod the Great is a rather small guy. He's about 4 feet 11 inch. Because of his size, he has a complex for the, you know, man supposed to be big, but he's not that big, so he has a rather problem, and he started to build a big building project. And there were several buildings that were known as done by the Herod the Great. Some of them is the Herodian Fortress and the Masada and the Alexandrian Fortress and the Great Wall that's still left in Jerusalem. There are many projects that he did well, and also he improved Second Temple they built. So he people, Israeli people, even though he was Edomite, their feeling was kind of mixed. They had hatred against him because he's Edomite, and at the same time he's a puppet of the Roman government, and same time he was doing good things for them with all this big building. However, this, as I told you before, he is a schizophrenic and paranoid human being. How bad? He had a wife called Miriam and several sons from him, from both of them. One day he somehow, was not the fact, he just felt that his wife and several of his sons are going to make a coup against him and depose him from his throne. So he decided to get rid of that problem. He killed his wife and several of his sons. Next morning he felt sorry for that, regretting that he killed his wife, so he built a great tower. So Roman authority, one of the emperor, if I'm understanding correctly, he's Augustus, said it's better for you to be the Herod the pig than being a Herod's son. It's that bad. So at age 70, and this is a newborn baby, and he might be a king. So he's scared, he tried to kill the child. And he wants to know whether the child is born, when his child was born. Verse 9. When they heard the king, and they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till he came and stood over where the young child, underline young child, please, was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, underline house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Underline worshipped him. We'll go there. And when they had opened their treasure, they present a gift to him, gold, frankincense. Did I say Frankenstein? Shame on me. Frankincense and the myrrh. The idea is the reason why that we come up with how many wise men we usually know? Three, right? Why is it three? Because three gifts we see. Actually, there should have been more than three. And some people say as many as hundreds. Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be a wonderful sight and a very curious sight, especially for your neighbor? How would you like to have, there's a John, young man. Let's say he is about 2 years old. And we're all living next door to this family. And all of a sudden, President Bush and Tom Blair, and who's the other guy? Famous, come on, I don't know much of politics. It's somebody, Chancellor from the Germany. They all came and went to their home and bowing down to John. Were we wondering what's going on? The same thing. All of a sudden, your neighbor's kid become famous cover story for the tabloid. And National Inquiring Mind want to know. Nobody knew because they didn't share that. They brought the three gifts: gold, representing the royalty, and heavenly kingdom. Now, Frankenstein, the frankincense, is representing sweet relationship with the kingdom, with the king. And also, it represents the priesthood. Myrrh represents, and almost like a prophesying its own, the death of Jesus Christ for our sin. These three gifts, they are not the low kinds. These people, the wise men, brought their best to Jesus. Let me just make this comment as on the side story. If you choose to do a tithe, that means tithe, 10%. I'd rather you to give something. I didn't say to this church. That's between you and God. You hear me? Give something to God. That's between you and God. I'm not going to insist to bring it to here. Give something to God. It is not about God needs money. If the person can pave the street with gold, that person is loaded. Correct? God paved the street with gold. So he doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. But it is for your own faith. It's for my own faith. If you need this much to make a living and you're willing to take this much out, that means you have to make a living with less than what you have. Then God has to fill up the rest of it. Would God fill up the rest of it? You can bet on it. There's one portion in the Bible, in the whole Bible, says, test me. Guess what it's about? Money. Why? Because we hold that little sucker so tight like this. It's mine. No, it's not yours. It's God gave it to you. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of loans from God. That's what it is. If you give it to God, God will bless you. I'm not saying them money-wise. Many different ways. That's just the side of the story. I actually underlined a few things. Number one, somehow we have this concept. You know, nativity scene. Here's a little manger with a little baby. Of course, it's a glowing, right? Everybody just has the halo effect. So if somebody wants to kill this baby, just look for the one that's glowing. Here's the mother, Mary, and the Joseph. Of course, he's always standing with a staff in his hand. Well, I don't know why he's holding the staff, because he's never been a shepherd. He was a carpenter. If he has to hold something, he would have a saw or the plane, hammer. Of course, there are a few animals around here, and three wise men sitting here, bowing down like that. Can you tell I'm an artist? So, that's a typical nativity scene, correct? Actually, these people should go all the way down past the Rancho Cerrito, the other side, more like a Wilmot or Houghton, because it would take that much time. I should underline young child. It didn't say infant. And where was he born? Stable. Not in the house. We underline house. You don't call a couple years old kid or a year old kid a baby. I know, there's some parents who call them baby when they're 40 years old. It's okay. I call my kid baby. She's 22 years old. So this is the wrong nativity scene. I know I just blow your bubbles away, sorry. So, in theology, that's wrong. Just be correct. These people travel from the day he was born, the following the star. They were obeying God. Simple obedience, without question. Verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. See, the worship, their worship is not only manifest in following these people and bowing down and worship this little child. Also, it manifested in obedience. You follow me? All right. We had a worship time with Mark, led by Mark. Is that the only worship? No. You know what the true worship is? Day-to-day living. What we do in the presence of other people, especially non-believers, how we represent Jesus Christ. This book we study, Matthew, true name is Gospel of Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew. I can't even speak that title correctly. In other words, how are you going to write the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Vicky, according to Spoon, according to Marianne, according to Robert? according to Pam. We, all of us, individually writing gospel in the presence of the non-believers, how do we write? That's very important. Trust me, non-believers will not pick up the Bible just for fun and start to study. We are the Bible they are going to read. So each day we are writing Gospel of Jesus Christ according to your name. All right. They went their home in other way. When we become believers, we go home in other way. That home is not downward, it's upward, it's heavenward. Because they believe Jesus Christ. They believe this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So we're going to find more about how it explains verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word. For Herod is sick, will seek the young child and to destroy him. When he arose, he took young child and his mother by night, departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of the Herod, it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. And I just cannot help to admire this man, Joseph. And he knew that it's not his child. And simple obedience. Leave now. So he left. This portion is quoted from the Hosea 11:1. You might want to jot it down and compare it with it later. Hosea 11:1 talks about the Israeli people leaving the Egypt. This is double meaning. It's here representing his son is leaving the Egypt in the later time. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in the Bethlehem in all its districts, and from the 2 years old and under, according to the time he has determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled, was spoken by the Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Excuse me. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. This is from Jeremiah 3:15. Again, it is fulfilled. At that time, it is talking about the mourning of the Israeli mothers. And it said Rachel. Why Rachel? Rachel's tomb, where's Rachel's tomb? It's the edge of the Bethlehem. This is a picturesque illustration that the Israel, the mothers in the Bethlehem is crying, and there she just simply said as a Rachel in mourning. Verse 19. But when the Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child life are dead. Then he rose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, Joseph's been sleeping a lot lately, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, and it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. It's a plural. It didn't say one singular time. He shall be called Nazarene. This is not the Nazarene's vow, but it is because he was from the Nazareth. Now, I said it's a plural. And it's not done by one time. The Nazarene, the word, also coming from the Hebrew word netzer. This word is the same meaning of a branch. It's one of the titles Jesus has. And there I'll call the two verses, and you can write it down and compare it. They are from Isaiah 11:1, Isaiah 4:2, Jeremiah 23:5, Jeremiah 33:15, Zechariah 3:8, Zechariah 6:12. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah is right before Malachi. It's two books before. Zechariah 3:8. Hear, O Joshua, O the high priest, you and your companion who sit before you, they are a wondrous sign, for behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. Zechariah 3:8. If you notice, the servant is a capital S, and the branch is all cap, like a load. Some of you find it in the Old Testament, YHWH, we pronounce as Yahweh. It's all cap. This is the meaning of Jesus Christ. I'd like to make a couple of applications. Number one, wise men and wise women still seek him. No matter what kinds of argument people would bring, truth remains as a truth. Some people say, well, you cannot have that, you cannot argue that what you have is the only truth. Truth can be relative. No. Let me put it this way. This is pen. Anybody argue with that? Pen? Do you think it's a brush? Or elephant? It's a pen, right? There's something called gravity. When I let go of it, it drops. Is that truth? Anybody denies that? It might float. If I go, it might float. Right? It doesn't. No matter what we believe, no matter how we like to believe, gravity remains. That's the truth. And that's absolute truth. Truth is exclusive. Truth does not negotiate. No matter how we like to believe, God's truth remains. We can disagree. If God is always right, when we disagree, guess what happened? We are the one who is wrong. People can deny whatever they want to deny, but they will find an ugly end because their own consequences, their own choice. God gave his only begotten Son to come to know him. When we deny his truth, we will pay the consequences. So the wise man and wise woman still seek him. I hope you are a wise man. I hope you are a wise woman. Second thing, God cares about the relationship more than religion. If you are a legalist, legalists are making everybody's business as their own. That's what the legalist does. And you have to follow their way. If you do anything other than their style, you become wrong. Why? Because in their own gender, in their own way, you are not following their pattern. That's not what God looks for. There's a freedom, there's a liberty in Christ Jesus. Yet, God is asking for relationship, personal relationship, not religion. Pharisees, scribes, and chief priests knew the word, but they didn't follow the word. That is so important. We need a relationship. Let's stand up and pray. Jack?